Oh, I don't need that one.
Oh, I'm talking to myself. Oh, money. Supposed to be in my ear?
Where would it feel?
No, I mean, it doesn't do anything. I mean, I don't hear anything.
Yeah, supposed to. Does it feel comfortable? You have a place to put this?
No.
Okay, I can actually.
He wants to know if I have any place to put this. Barb. I thought you said amusing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Oh, you're welcome. Good morning, everybody. Okay, let's do it again. Good morning, everybody. Oh, my. That was so wonderful. I'm always reminded, this is the day the Lord has made. Sweet choice. Glad in it. It's a good one. So we will get right on to some announcements. This is an important one. The SPRC will be meeting in the nursery right after church. That's the SPRC. Another announcement on the back of the bulletin. The New Legacy Project will be performing here on Friday, September 8th at 6:30, best known for their harmonies, humor, and love for God. You won't want to miss this fantastic group. Free admission. And I'll have to tell you, I looked them up online and read their biographies and everything. And I didn't make it to the one in KPAC, but I am excited about this. I think it's really going to be good. I think it's going to remind me of some of the other ones that are out there, like Ernie Haas, Signature Sound, and all that. It'll be fun. And to make it funner, we're going to have a spaghetti dinner right before the concert, starting at 5 o'clock. Spaghetti, tossed salad, garlic bread, just a traditional spaghetti dinner, and cake. So $5. So as one person in this church pointed out, I said $3. She said, you can't even get a Happy Meal for $5. So we raised it to $5, but it'll be a good meal. Dine in. Let's see. On the back of the bulletin, something coming up, excuse me, next week, November 5th will be trustees, and then that's the first one coming up. Thursdays at 10 we'll meet, this coming Thursday at 10, and that's about all for this week on here. But please read the back of your bulletins for anything else you want. A prayer concern, we have one for Linda Schramm. Will be having a back procedure tomorrow at Covenant. A lumbar laminectomy. So God bless you, and I think you're in good hands over at Covenant. There's a prayer and prayers, prayer and praise meeting on Thursday from 6 to 7. And June, this says, for those who are coming, is that for something else, or that's just for the prayer and praise meeting, Thursday? Everybody's welcome. Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any praise?
I just got over the last day or so. Our church conference is scheduled on October 14th at 3 o'clock in Brown City. So please mark your calendars. Great participation in that is going to be helpful. October 14th at 3 o'clock in Brown City. The SPRC has lots of paperwork to do, and that's why they're gathering for just a minute to get all that figured out when we're going to meet to get all the paperwork done. But it all has to be in, I think, 2 weeks before October 10th. So that means we have to get all the work done in September. So any of you that have reports or have all of those things to fill out, we really, really, really appreciate you working hard on that. Fall comes too quickly, and all of a sudden when it does, it comes with all of those things that come along with it. So thank you in advance for all your cooperation and for helping us get all that important stuff done ahead of time. Thank you.
Okay. Here we go. Let's see, who we have for birthdays this week. Oh, we have quite a few. Today's 26th. Zach Bowerman on August 31st. He's our quite a few birthdays this month. So let's all sing happy birthday to Zach and anybody else who might be having a birthday this week. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you. And anniversaries, August 28th, tomorrow, Al and Mary Nickel. Let's sing happy anniversary to Al and Mary. Happy anniversary to you, happy anniversary to you, happy anniversary, God bless you, happy anniversary to you. Okay, we have a few minutes here. I want to make sure, seeing if he's going to change the number on me. First of all, thank you, Melissa. The music you're playing before church and during prayer and all of that is so beautiful. And if I don't know how many of you know about playing the piano, but she does a marvelous job. So. Let's see. Does anybody? Oh, Pam. Oh, forgot about that. Yes. Keep in mind the teachers and the administrative staff and everybody associated with the school, bus drivers. What a job. School starts tomorrow in this county. Thank you, Pam. Bless you. When I was getting ready for church this morning, I got this dress out of the closet. I thought I'll wear that. And during the summer, my cousin invited us over, and his mom had died earlier this summer, and Aunt Dot left me these beads. Well, it's big, yellow, gaudy beads, and I just laid them on the dresser. Didn't think another thing of it, and then I pulled out this dress this morning, and I saw those beads laying there, and I was thinking, Aunt Dot, you just knew I would wear those. And I put them on and I thought, I'm so happy that they gave them to me. You know, it's so nice to have little keepsake. It was nice. It made me happy. Well, how about we get the show started? with, oops, I can't open this. Yes. Oh, I didn't see her. Yeah, Bea is here. Bea Strickler. Hi, Bea. Nice to have you here. Are you home for the summer? No. Oh. First the hurricane and then the knee. Tell ya. Well, we'll keep you in our prayers. And say hello to Verge for us. Yes. We will. If the acolytes want to come forward, we'll light the candles, and we can quiet our minds and prepare our hearts for worship. Those are two precious girls, Prashel. They are. Let's all stand and let's sing our first praise song, Blessed Be the Name. Stand if you're able, and we'll sing this two times. Wonderful. Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message, and I'm Karen Pettis, your worship leader this morning. Our call to worship, you can respond in the bold print. Our help is in God, who calls us to worship. Our hope is in love that calls us to care. Come, let us bring our full selves to worship. Let us bring our full love and care.
Gracious and loving God, bless us with your presence as we worship this day. Bless us with your love as we grow in love and mature in our faith. Bless us with your guidance as we give ourselves to you, to your church, and to your work in the world. Amen and amen.
Amen. Our opening hymn is number 451, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated.
To do this. I've had this up here for quite a while. I'm just going to kind of prop it right there, I guess. Pull myself over here. So, can you tell me what that is? What does that look like to you, other than a rug, right? Kind of like a rug. We used to do that back in the olden days, should I say? Someone praying, yep. They're called the praying hands. This has hung on the wall in several different churches. And it was given to me a couple of weeks ago, unbeknownst, that it was done by a cousin of mine. And she must have given it to one of her daughters, and her daughter had it hung in her church. And then she moved, and it moved with her, and it was put in another church. And now I have it. And I thought, what a great reminder that these praying hands are praying over us all the time. And I know with the starting of this new school year, especially, it brings to mind how much we need to pray every single day for our schools and our children and for the community. Our bus drivers, I don't know, do you guys ride the bus or do you walk? Or okay. A lot of kids ride the bus, some walk, some have transportation, somebody drops them off. But however you get to school, you know that you're being prayed for. As you begin this new routine again, we get in our summer routine, and then we have to go and readjust our time schedule so that we go to bed and get up in the morning to get ready for our fall schedule. So I just want you to know, and all of the rest of the folks in this room, that we're not only praying for that, but we're praying for all of the needs that get brought to our attention. And at any time, if anybody wants to give us something privately, if they want to get it to me privately, and want me to just pray, sometimes we don't feel comfortable just saying it out loud, do we? Sometimes it's so personal that we just want to share it with a couple of people. But you know what? Even if there's one person praying, or if there's thousands and thousands of people praying, God hears every single one, and he knows our needs. And I thought, what a good reminder that we have these praying hands to know that we can put our hands together. One of my fondest memories is of my parents kneeling at their bed before they would go to bed every night. They would both kneel on the side of the bed, and they would fold their hands, bow their heads, like we're taught when we're growing up how to pray. We don't always get to do that when we're driving. It's not good to close your eyes when you're driving, or take your hands off the steering wheel. So you can pray without doing that. But I think it reminds us that we come together and take that special time to pray to the Lord, and how precious that time is when we get to do that. I don't know if you pray. Some of us old people nowadays, when we get into bed and we lay down and we pray, we don't always kneel at the side of the bed. But I have that memory, and it's a really good memory to have. And I know that when I was sick, quite a few years ago now, one of the pastors that I worked with got this amazing trip to go and see the Holy Land, and he put a prayer for me in the Wailing Wall, where they go and they pray and they lay their hands on that wall. And I've never seen it with my own eyes, but I've seen lots of pictures. And you know how much that meant to me, to know that somebody loved me enough to say a special prayer for me, and to put that prayer in that wall, and that they have this big old wall, and they shove these little prayers in the cracks of the cement and in the cracks of that wall. And whether we do it that way or whether just a friend prays for us and says, I'm praying for you today. That is so important, isn't it? It's so important. That's the best thing we can do for our neighbors, I think, is to lift them up in prayer. Let's do that right now. Let's bow our heads and fold our hands. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to pray, for reminding us how you answer and hear and intercede on behalf of our every prayers. Lord, we ask that you anoint these children, bless them, put a hand of protection around them as they begin this journey once again in the fall and upon our schools here and many other places. Lord, your hand of protection around the bus drivers, around the vehicles that transport our children, around the school building itself and all of the teachers and all of the staff, all of the principals and superintendents and secretaries and all of the people that make it happen so smoothly. We give you thanks for each one. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 8 and continuing to chapter 2, verse 10. And when I was reading this, looking up words I didn't know, I was thinking, you know that song, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus? The Bible is so rich in stories, and it's been really interesting the past few weeks in Genesis and learning these stories, and it's just, they're just people like us going through their daily lives with everything they're faced with. And I just find it so interesting and heartwarming how everything is handled. So Exodus 1, 8 through 10, 2, 10. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and, if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for the Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shipra and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, saying, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives can arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all of his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. So now we're on to the birth of Moses. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could, excuse me, but when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go." So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
Thank you, Karen, for that. This week we're going to be praying for Continental Rental, and so please keep them, their employees, and their business in your prayers. We have mentioned many prayer needs before the service. We, again, want to be praying for our schools. And the first day, all of the new schedule things, when you have a first again, sometimes you just pray that everything goes smoothly. I, for one, am thankful that the other night on our way home after our meeting on Thursday, the weather was pretty crazy on the way home, and we got right to where we turned to go into on the road. We're right on the corner, and there was a great big old tree branch down, not one that you go out and pull off the road. It was a big one. It could have been much worse, but a lot of places had wind and branches down, and when you're going home in the dark, sometimes that's a little nerving, but everything was good on the way home, and I pray it was for all of you as well. But we've had a lot of, as I mentioned last week, I think, a lot of summer storms this year, and a lot of crazy weather and temperatures and rain that we'd like to float away with, I guess, and a lot of fields are just really underwater, aren't they? When we drove through Yale yesterday, Hollis mentioned, it looked like it was spring. Everything's overflowed, and there's water everywhere. But we know that we have all been kept safe, and that is just a blessing. Lots of unspoken needs this morning. Do we have unspoken prayer needs? Yes. Again, the altar is always open. Anyone that wants to come and pray, sit in the front pew, wherever you're comfortable. As I told the kids this morning, we can pray in our cars, can't we? We can pray wherever we are. God hears and knows our prayers and knows our needs. Let's bow before him today. Thank you, Lord, that you are hearing every one of our petitions that come up before your throne room. Lord, there isn't a one of us that aren't in need of your touch this morning. For all of those hands that were raised, those special needs, Lord, look into our hearts. Look into our hearts, Lord, and go before us. With your mighty hand of grace, with your great wisdom, with your power, Lord, we call upon your name. Your name is above all names. We sang this morning, "Blessed be your name." Lord, thank you that you have blessed us with your Holy Spirit's presence in this room today, tangibly felt, Lord, knowing that you work in and among us and through us, surrounding us, Lord, not because we have done anything special in particular, not because Certainly we're sinless. But because you know our needs and you know that we need your embrace today, we thank you for forgiving every sin, every unkind thought, every word, Lord, that was said in a harsh way. Lord, you are here today to heal and bind us together. Bind us together as we sing at the end. Lord, many times of services and in places we find ourselves, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Lord, be here this day. Give us your message. Let your words resonate within our ears. And as Karen shared this morning, Lord, the powerful and mighty ways that you have shown yourself to us through Scripture. We thank you for teaching us and showing us your ways, for being loving and kind and forgiving to us when we've done nothing to deserve that. Lord, for allowing us to minister to each other, to the least and the lost and the lonely and the needy, and all of the ways that we present ourselves during the week, Lord, not just on Sundays. Be with us and walk with us and guide us and hear our petitions, Lord. Hear our intercessory prayers. You are our rock of ages. Be our fortress and our shelter in times of trouble. Be our strength and our courage when we're afraid. Be our grace and our forgiveness when we fall short. Be our inspiration and our guide as we strive to serve you and your world fully. In great hope and gratitude, in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray these words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Battle you're fighting. Does it seem like the storm just won't break? Is there a mountain in front of you that doubt says will never move? And you wonder, will God make a way? Well, tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment he wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. When you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time. be strong in the Lord and remember to take hold of faith and stand firm. You can be confident the Lord keeps his promises. If you doubt him, just read through his word and tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment he wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time. He can work miracles, do the impossible. If you don't believe it, just go on and try and tell me. Been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment he wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never, he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never. Never a time. Never a time.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful and so very true. Never a time. Our scripture lesson from the New Testament today is from Matthew chapter 16, if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles this morning, Matthew 16, starting with the 13th verse, going through verse 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word today. A man was stuck in the airport because his flight had just been canceled. And like many, they were having to wait behind this long line of folks just to get an alternative arrangement made for alternative flights. After a while, he got really impatient, really angry, and he stormed right to the front. He pushed everyone aside, he barged his way to the front counter and said, "Ma'am, I need a ticket for home. I don't care how you get it, but I want to be served my ticket, and I want it now." The counter staff then said to him, "Sir, I'd love to help you, but there are a lot of people in front of you, so would you mind getting back in line in the place that you found yourself?" The man says, "No. Do you know who I am?" The lady said, "Sir, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are." "What? You don't know who I am?" "Yes, sir, I'm afraid I don't know who you are." "Do you really know who I am? Don't you really know who I am?" "I do not know who you are." "Well, you should know who. You should know who I am." And at this point of time, she picked up the microphone. She spoke into the PA system and she said, "Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? We have a situation right here. This man doesn't know who he is. If any one of you knows his identity, would you please come to the counter?" So I guess that's what he gets, right? Do you know who I am? This message today is about identity. And in particular, do you know who he is? And you know who I mean. I mean Jesus the Christ. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? If someone were to come up to you in the store and say, "Who is this person that I hear about? This Jesus, who is he?" What would you say? What would your response be right off, off guard and everything? Not even expecting that. Who would you say that Jesus is to you? It's a question I think every Christian has to answer. Who is Jesus Christ to you? You know, as you grow up and as you're raised, if you were raised in the church or even online probably, you look around and you see pictures of Jesus, don't you? And you imagine that's Jesus. You recognize that picture and you know you don't have to say, "Who is that?" Because you know, maybe Jesus won't look much like the pictures we paint and portray him as looking at, looking like. But nevertheless, I don't think we're going to be denied who Jesus is, no matter if he has short hair, if he has long hair, if it's dark brown or lighter brown. If, you know, I think we're going to know Jesus and recognize him the minute we see him. No matter what he's dressed in, he might have, who knows, he might have blue jeans and a t-shirt on. We don't know that, do we? We don't know what he's going to have on. But we know that we're going to know him the minute we see him. We will recognize him. Do you know who he is? And do you recognize him in your life? Do we recognize the ways that he's shown up in your life over the years? I took a class one time. It was called World Great Religions, and it taught us, which I think it's kind of good to know, because we wonder, don't we? What are these other faith practices and these other religions? Where do they come about their information? For example, I know Hinduism, they view Jesus as just one of millions of gods. He isn't their only God. He is one in millions. They acknowledge Jesus is God, but he's just one of a million. How about the Muslim faith, Islam? What do Islamic people think? What do Islamic people think about Jesus? Well, they think Jesus is this, they call it penultimate prophet. That means the second to the last prophet. A holy child of virgin birth, but not God, nor the Son of God. That's what they think. How about Buddhism? They think Jesus was wise. They think he was enlightened and a holy man, but he was not divine in their eyes. He's not God. Mormons, they also have a view about Jesus. In the Book of Mormons, they say that the early leaders taught that Jesus had multiple wives, children, and children during his mortal and earthly ministry. Jehovah Witnesses, what do they think? Amongst many things, they believe that Jesus came in the form of an archangel, and that is Michael, and Michael is really Jesus himself. All kinds of ideas out there in the world, and probably thousands more if you were to study more and more about other places on this planet Earth and other types of religion. So it's very interesting. Can you find that you find these things in various religions? They have something to say about this image of a person, but not Jesus Christ as a person. They see this physical person, this physical man, but they haven't really delved into who Jesus is. That scripture that I just read to you points us to the story when Jesus asked that question, who do these people say that I am? Not who do you say, but who do the people of the town? I'm sure the disciples, just like when we leave this place today, they went many different places. And so they were all hearing different things from different spots. So I think the disciples, mingling among people, they heard from others. They got some news from the grapevine, and they replied, some say that you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah, the prophet in the Old Testament. Others thought you were Jeremiah, the author of the book of Jeremiah. Or just a prophet, one of the prophets. That's what people are saying in town. That's what I'm hearing. Now, we find that kind of unusual because we read last week, didn't we, about John the Baptist. And in Matthew 16, if you were with Jesus at that point in time, where is John the Baptist now? Well, he is not living in this life anymore. You're absolutely right if you're remembering that, because in that 14th, I said 16, but in the 14th chapter of Matthew, it tells us that John was beheaded and his head was served up on a platter to King Herod. So it's very interesting that they think that perhaps he is John the Baptist. We know that John was dead at that point, so are they thinking that he somehow came alive again? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. However, at this point in time, he gave this brilliant answer, Peter did. He turned to Peter. You know Peter's personality, without a break, probably the fastest one to speak up. Also, sometimes made mistakes by speaking up fast, but this time he was absolutely brilliant in his answer. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a remarkable statement. So far, the crowds have said everything but that. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon. So blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In modern language, maybe Jesus might have said, bingo, you've got it right. You're absolutely spot on. And God, my Father, is the one who revealed it to you. How has Christ revealed himself to you in your life? As I think back, sometimes you see hindsight is actually 20/20, as we say. We see who Christ is in our life. He's our Redeemer. He is our rock. He is our shield. He is our fortress. He is the Good Shepherd. He's the healer. He's the great physician. He listens to us. He is kind and gentle in his spirit. his words vibrate in our heart, in our hearts and our minds. He is so powerful and yet so loving. He gets his point across many times with just a look or with a word of understanding. I've thought, as I was working through this during the week, so much about the woman at the well and how he knew every aspect of her life just like he does ours. He knows the heartbreaks and the pain, and he knows all the things, the goings on. The times we might have been inappropriate, and the times that he was cheering us on, saying, "Yes, you finally got it. You finally understand who I am." But through all of that, he was kind and generous to her, even though he knew her lifestyle and he knew who she'd been with and who she hadn't. He was kind and generous to her. And he gave her the love that she needed. And as a response to that, it made her want to be better. And she went out and told others. And she was an inspiration because of it. Now, you know, it's always a mystery to me. In spots in the Bible, it'll tell us that Jesus said, "Don't say a word about this." In other places, he said, "Go out and tell everybody." So we really have to listen and pay attention, don't we, to what God is telling us this morning, because sometimes he's telling us, just ponder that. I'm so happy that Peter knows that and it's been revealed to him, and now it's been revealed to the disciples as well, just in case there was anybody who didn't know that he was the Christ and the Messiah, our Lord and Savior. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's a parallel message if you want to look it up during the week. It's in Luke 9, verse 20, starting there. It's a parallel to this exact story being written from others' eyes. And we know that we each see things. We can all watch the same thing and see it in a different way. It's good to read that as well. But I guess the point I want to, of culmination here of what all this is about is, you know, right from the very beginning, the Old Testament anticipates this coming king. Everything in Scripture, whether it's before Christ or during Christ's ministry or even after he left and went back to heaven, all of it is about Christ, is leading up to him. In Luke 2:11, which we read most of the time just at Christmas time, the angels in heaven declared, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's why you call him Jesus, who is Christ the Lord. This baby who you will name Jesus the Christ is Messiah and our forever King. There's this this Bible, you know, when my kids were growing up, even my grandkids, you know, we'd buy them a children's version of the Bible. It has lots of pictures, and, you know, then you read to them the Bible stories written in a simplistic way that they might understand. And I know adults that have come to Christ later in their lives that have bought children's Bibles to learn some of those stories in the simplest of ways before they get into the adult version where they might have to look up some of the words. This particular story Bible is called The Big Picture. The big picture is extremely clear in this picture book of the Bible. And, of course, it's about Jesus. And the Bible's written in such a gospel, Christ-centered way. It's written by a man by the name of David Helm. And he ends the Old Testament in this way, and I just think this is profound. He ends the Old Testament this way, with this simple sentence, that after the nation of Israel has rebuilt the temple, they cried because they still longed for God's forever king to come. In other words, it's as if Israel stands at the end of the Old Testament and looks back and says, "Wow, look at the mess that we've done. Look at the sins we've committed. Look how far we are from the glory that God has promised. All the kings, all the prophets, all the priests before us could not lead us to that real peace and joy. There must be something else. The forever king is yet to come. So the Old Testament ends with this great anticipation, longing for God's forever king. The Old Testament ends, and then you open up the New Testament, and just a few pages later, there's this page that says, "What a very big day. What a day is this, the day Jesus was born." What a very big day. Why? Because what God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David had arrived in the birth of this precious, tiny baby, Jesus. And news of his great arrival was about to spread throughout the world. And that is our very good news. And it is a very big day. On a night that was really quite inconspicuous, on a night where it is silent and quiet and nothing spectacular is expected, really, God's promise is going to be fulfilled when his son comes and is born into this world. What is the Bible about? It's about Jesus. What's the Old Testament about? What's Genesis, Leviticus, Samuel, Isaiah really chiefly about? It's about preparing the way. It's about preparing you to look for that coming king. And the New Testament explains all that. So at Christmas, and usually it's just about only Christmas, that we sing, "O little town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem." And I think so appropriate in that beautiful song, that beautiful carol, that beautiful hymn, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. When he came here, he met all of those needs. And the blessed fulfillment of the prophecies that had led up to that. The hopes of the whole world, because God did say, "In your offspring shall all nations be blessed." And all nations and all hopes are now focused and laid upon Jesus, born into this world that night. So what a momentous statement that is, that the angels declared, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the King." And this King is going to usher in the everlasting kingdom. So Peter, you know and believe that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, not because you figure it out yourself, not because someone else told you, but my Father told you. And I think when he reveals himself to us in this life, that God our Father, God his Father, is also revealing to us, see what he can do, see what he wants to do, see what he's able to do, see what he's willing to do, if you will only let him. And I think that's where has gone wrong in so many of those other religions. They haven't allowed him to speak to them, themselves. He hasn't been allowed to work in their lives. He hasn't been allowed to speak his truths, to watch his healing, to watch his spirit work in and among us. We have to give him a chance to do that, don't we? We have to have faith enough to know that he is willing to use us in this world, our inadequate, sinful, hopeless selves at times. You know, I used to sing once in a while with a little Sunday morning quartet once in a while before I was a minister. And one of the songs that one of my dear friends brought for us to sing was called "Hope for the Hopeless." And it just reminded me over and over again. It repeated those phrases so many times over and over. Hope for the hopeless. Boy, oh boy, don't we feel that way sometimes? I am a hopeless mess. But God says, I am going to turn that hopeless mess into something I can use for people who feel like a hopeless mess as well, maybe. And I am the Christ. I can do what I want to do. I can do it where I want to do it. I can do it with whom I want to do it. I can do it in a way that you could never imagine. Put your trust in me. And so more than we put our trust in anything else in this world, any earthly, man-made idea or thought, we need to remember that Jesus is the rock of our faith. He is the source. He is our firm foundation. And everything else we do is secondary to knowing that. He's rescued me several times out of a pit that I had made for myself. We look into our past and we see the mistakes, we see the challenges, we see the way we handle things appropriately or inappropriately. We see the situations that get thrown in our way that we don't have answers to. But what we see clearly through all of that is the way that the Lord has grabbed us by the hand and brought us from that pit step by step, minute by minute, and empowered us to be people that can give our testimony to others and say, look, at this is who Christ is, because this is what he did for me. This is who Christ is. He tells us to share that message. He told them at that time it wasn't the right time to reveal that. But he tells us today, I believe with all my heart, to share your story, share your testimony, share who Christ is within you and in your life. Share Christ. Show people Christ through your attitudes and actions. And may God bless us all as the foundation, that firm foundation that we build our faith on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we have our ushers come forward at this time?
Came to talk with you, Lord. You've answered a million prayers or more that I forgot to thank you for. I just came to talk with you, Lord. Maybe tomorrow there'll be trouble and sorrow and a thousand teardrops might fall. But until I face tomorrow's task, I have no special favor to ask. I just came to talk with you, Lord. How many times, Lord, have troubles brought me to my knees, but I just came to talk with you, Lord. I've no selfish motive in mind, just wanna thank you for all the other times with you, Lord. But maybe tomorrow there'll be trouble and sorrow and a thousand teardrops might fall. But until tomorrow's task, I have no special favor to ask, but I just came to talk with you, Lord. I just came to talk with you.
Ever-giving God, help us give as fully to you and to your world as you have given to us. Transform our gifts with your love that they might become vessels of your love for others. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our closing hymn can be found on 529, How Firm a Foundation. 529.
Thank you.
And now, my friends, we are the body of Christ, built on the foundation of God's grace. Go now to love and to serve in your unique and individual ways. As people connected in call and in love, give yourselves fully to God and God's world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing, Blessed Be the Tie.